Coal has been used for thousands of years as domestic fuel. For most of that time, only in the few spots where it cropped out on the surface or was washed ashore by the sea, any kind of plant matter can become coal. But most of what we have is the gift of the earth as it existed 350 million years ago, when rushes and ferns grew tall as trees. Decay, compression, heat, and a great deal of time make the rock that burns. As it sits in your cellar, it continues to putrefy. All coal gives off marsh gas or methane continuously. This is the reason coal mines blow up, a clue to even more explosive secrets locked inside its shiny blackness. When infortuitously methane becomes mixed with 5% oxygen, it creates a highly explosive mixture miners call fire damp. Any bright 8-year-old could create this explosive with about 5 minutes training. One good reason why the mass development of intellect after the coal age became more problematic than it might appear on the surface. Though such a possibility was never a central cause of the rush to school, it and other facts like it were details of consequence in the background of the tapestry. Through the early years of the 18th century, enormous technical problems plagued the development of coal. Once quarrying gave way to underground mining, and shafts went below the water table, seepage became a nightmare. And as underground workings extended further and further from the shaft, the problem of hauling coal from where it was mined back to the shaft, and from the shaft hoisted to the surface, distances between 500 and 1,000 feet in places, posed enormous technological challenges, as did the simple matter of illumination in the dark tunnels. Collections of marsh gas might be encountered at any turn, resulting in the sudden termination of miners and all their expensive equipment. Solving these problems took 2 centuries, but that effort resulted in the invention of the steam engine and the railroad as direct solutions to the dilemmas of drainage and haulage under the earth. A simple pump, the miner's friend, patented by Savory in 1699, became Newcomen's steam pump, powered by water boiled over coal fires, driving a piston device which drained British coal mines for the next century. Priscilla Long says, quote, "The up-and-down motion of this piston, transferred to the moving parts of machines, and especially to the wheels of trains, changed global society. Newcomen's pump used so much coal it could only be used near coal mines. But James Watt's engine, which came along precisely at the moment the Continental Congress was meeting in 1776, was superior in every way, efficient and capable of delivering a source of power anywhere. Industries could now be located away from coal fields because the coal industry had invented the railroad as a way to solve its other underground problem, moving coal from the diggings to the surface." By the middle of the 17th century, the haulage problem had been partially solved by laying wooden planks along coal mine tunnels as 2 parallel tracks upon which wagons could be drawn. These tracks, it was soon realized, had an above-ground use, too, as a transport highway from mine to sea and waterway. A century later, just after the moment some former British colonies in North America became the United States, a coal operator tied the steam engine of Watt to the task of moving coal from a seam face, and other men associated with large collieries produced the first railroad expressly for the purpose of hauling coal. It couldn't have been very long before other uses suggested themselves. Passenger travel followed almost immediately, the world's first reliable transportation system. Once unleashed on an idea this powerful, the globally successful British engineering community had a field day extending it. By 1838, the first steamship had crossed the Atlantic. A short while later, transatlantic travel was on a timetable, just as classrooms in factory schools would come to be. The abundance of wood in the United States slowed the development of efficient railroads for an interval, as after all, wood was free. But as trains improved with dazzling speed, the economy that Wood offered was seen as a counterfeit. Wood has only half the punch of coal. By 1836, coal had driven wood from the infant railroads. Explosive growth followed at once. Trackage grew from 1,100 miles in 1836 to 2,800 miles in 1841, to 5,600 miles in 1845, to 11,000 miles in 1850, and to 22,000 miles in 1855, to 44,000 miles in 1860, on the eve of the Civil War. Could the North have overwhelmed the South so handily without railroads? Would the West have developed the same way? The railroad, byproduct of the desire to gouge coal out of the earth, was a general's best friend. And America's first working compulsion schools were given to the nation by the Boston School Committee, an elite assembly importantly underwritten by money and influence from Peabody coal and railroading interests the year after Andrew Jackson left office. Far-sighted businessmen had seen the future before anyone else.